Good evening and welcome to Spirit Radio. I am your host, Willie Hassel. Along with my co-host, Lynn Nickerson, we will take you on a journey into the unknown, where the paranormal becomes the normal, a journey to a world cloaked in darkness, where reality becomes a thin veil. So sit back, relax, and join us as we venture into the shadows, the darkness, the unknown, and back. Okay, welcome once again to Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience. I'm Willie Hassel, along with the lovely, the mystical, the mysterious, Lynn Nickerson. Good evening. How are you?
Hey, hi, Willie. Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Good.
It's kind of
a miserable rainy day.
It is a miserable rainy New England day, but hey, what are you going to do?
Got to go with the flow.
Go with the flow. That's right. Just hopefully it won't be too much of a flow and wash us away or anything.
Mm.
But, hey, there are good things about tonight.
There is.
There is. Our guest tonight.
That's right.
Tonight on Spirit Radio, the paranormal experience. It is a pleasure to welcome to the show, once again, our good friend, Elle Santariga. Elle is the founder and director of the Bronxville Paranormal Society. He is also co-director of the New York chapter of the North American Dogman Project. Elle has been having strange and paranormal experiences all his life. He had his first UFO sighting at the age of 10 in Yonkers, New York. He had his first Bigfoot sighting in 1974 at the age of 12 in Davies, Florida. Elle has had many other paranormal experiences, such as demonic, psychic, and even possible abductions. So welcome once again to Spirit Radio, Elle Santariga. Good evening, Elle. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Elle. Welcome.
Hi, Willie. Hi, Lynn. Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Yes. Always fun.
Thank you for joining us once again.
We were talking off air. I believe this is Al's fifth show with us, and he's always got some incredible stories from his travels and his investigations. And as Willie was mentioning, he's experienced a broad variety of phenomena. He's communed with Bigfoot or Sasquatch at Nuclear Lake in New York State. He's had many run-ins with occultists, evil entities, ghosts, and what appear to be upright canids. And tonight he's going to relate what he believes to have been interactions or maybe even contact with UFO and possible ETs. Al, I was going to ask you something. I didn't realize that your first Bigfoot sighting was out of Florida. We've got a friend, a mutual acquaintance, that all of his psychic stuff started happening when he lived in Florida. He's moved up here, and he continues to have very similar sightings to yours. What do you think about that? Why the state of Florida?
Oh, I don't know if Florida state has actually anything to do with it. I was just there at the right time and at the right place. The summer I was there, it was a drought summer. There were fires in the Everglades, and it was just pushing all the animals inland. And my sister, my sister just happened to live right on the outskirts of the Everglades. So, you know, right place, right time.
Okay. Well, this person too, he saw a Bigfoot, a Sasquatch, something like that. And now that he's up here, he's been seeing dogmen as well as a continuation of Sasquatch sightings. But anyway, so you had your first sighting at the age of 10. Could we start there, and could you give us an idea of what it was that you saw?
Yeah, well, at 10 years old, was over the summer, a friend of mine, my best friend at the time, Richie, we were sleeping over. And my father had an A-frame roof garage, And we used to go up on the garage and skywatch. We were just skywatchers. We'd go up there with a radio, listening to the local rock station, and he'd be looking south, and I'd be looking north, and we'd watch the skies. And then at one point, I seen what looked like three stars dancing, like doing figure eights within one another.
Oh, yeah.
And I called Rich over to my side of the roof, and he looked at it, and he said, "What the hell's that?" You know, and I jumped off the roof because my father had a very powerful spotlight he used to use when he went crabbing, and I did a Morse code, and they stopped. So then Rich goes, "Let me try," and he did a Morse code, and they did it back.
So and was it SOS?
It was just a, you know. I don't know what the hell we were doing, to be brutally honest. We had walkie-talkies back then that had Morse code on them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we were just copying what the walkie-talkies would say, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Then I did another Morse code, you know, I don't know what we were actually trying to make, you know, make any kind of communication or anything. But the third time we did it, one of the points of light just dropped straight down out of the sky, with from being up in the heavens to being just above where the air traffic from the airports in the city would fly. And when that happened, we both just jumped off. I grabbed the flashlight, he grabbed the radio. We jumped off the roof of the garage, and we ran in my room, and we hid under the bed for, you know, a couple hours because we thought we were going to be abducted, because, you know, my brother was a paranormal investigator and a parapsychologist, and he had every book under the sun. And, you know, I read them, then Rich read them, you know, I only had really two close friends, Richie and Eddie, and Rich read them, and then Ed would read them. And so we were all into it. So we kind of all thought, you know, at least me and Richie at that night thought we were going to get abducted, you know. But I will say this, though, right after that happened, I started getting nosebleeds at night.
No kidding.
And I started walking in my sleep, and I would come out of my room. My mother and father would be watching Johnny Carson, and I'd come out of my room, and I would take in these, like, giant steps, and my father would say, "Where are you going?" And I would say, "Going to the moon." He goes, "What are you going to the moon for?" And he would say... I said, and I would tell him, because that's where I'm from. I'm going home. That's where I'm from.
Oh,
and he would say, "Okay, turn around and go back to bed before you get a beating." And he would turn me around, and I'd walk back into the bedroom and go back to sleep, you know. The nosebleeds, you know, I really couldn't understand what was going on with that, because at that time I moved from an all Italian neighborhood to an all Irish neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And you had to fight these guys to get respect from them, you know. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of fighting as a kid, you know, and I never got any nosebleeds. Fat lips, black eyes, but never any nosebleeds. And I would wake up and there'd be blood all over the wall and all over the pillows. And
oh my gosh.
And I would ask my father, you know, "What's going on, Pop? You know, how come I'm a nosebleed?" And he would say, "Oh, you never stay still at night. You bounce all over the place. You hit your face against the wall, and that's why you get a nosebleed." And I said, "Okay." You know, I never really thought anything of it, not thinking that, you know, how many times I've been punched in my nose and they've never bled, you know. But yeah, I just took what he said as gospel, you know.
If
Dad said that's what it is, then that's what it is.
Al, was that during the summer that you saw the UFO?
Yeah, that was like, I would say it was probably like July, early July, right after like the 4th of July, something like that.
Al, the same thing happened to my brother. He saw a UFO. He was chased by a UFO in East Kingston. And that summer, he had wicked nosebleeds, and his pillow would be covered with blood. And my mother was concerned. She took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Oh, he's just growing fast. Nothing to worry about." I think something happened. I think you probably both had some kind of nasal implants.
Probably. I mean, at this stage of the game, you know, where I am now in life, I would probably say, yeah. My brother always said he always thought I was chipped because of all the sightings I had, you know.
Yeah.
And he always wanted me to do regressive hypnosis.
Uh-huh.
And I always said, no, 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 no. And then I read the Whipley Strieber's book, Communion,
yes. Uh-huh.
And I swear to God, I started getting flashbacks. It was like did that you? Book was talking about me. And it freaked me out. It really did. It freaked me out. It was like a wake-up call. And then years later, once I got into the investigating stage and everything, I met Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
Oh.
And we became really good friends. And she was going to actually, well, she was actually going to do two things for me. Once, she was going to do a regressive hypnosis for me at her house. And she wasn't going to charge me because we're friends. She said, "Oh no, I'm not. I won't charge you, Al." You know. And second of all, she wanted me to put out a book, and she was going to publish it. And I said, "Great." You know. But then she got busy with TV and book tours and all kinds of stuff. So, and then unfortunately, she passed away this year. So yeah. So we never got around to doing it.
Oh. You going to do it about supposedly you information garnered from your regressions?
I wanted to know for sure one way or the other, you know, I really did. For years and years and years, you know, I always remember, what was his name? He was an artist down in the city. He was the first one to start doing a regressive hypnosis. Man, I can't remember his name. He was Bud Hopkins.
Raymond Moody Bud Hopkins.
Bud Hopkins. Okay. I remember Bud Hopkins saying one time, if you can sleep, if you have no problem sleeping at night and you think you're an abductee, don't do it. He goes, because what may come through, you may never be able to sleep again. That always kind of stuck in the back of my head. You know, that's why I always tell my brother, no, I have no desire to do it. But once I met Rosemary and, you know, I really trusted her, you know, I really did. And I said, you know what? I think it's time. You know, I don't have any problem sleeping at night, but I work hard for a living. So when I get home at night, I'm tired.
Did you get regressed?
No, I never did. We were supposed to do it after the TV series ended for that season.
Oh, wow.
And she had a couple of signings she had to do, like symposiums. And then she said, Al, when I get back from that, I'll give you a call. You come to the house and we'll knock it out. And I said, okay. And unfortunately, she passed.
Oh, so sad. Okay, so what can you tell us that you remember?
Well, I will say is that in the summer of 2002, okay, I had terrible migraines. I had headaches like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, and I can't believe.
I went to the doctors every week on my day off, and they tried everything under the sun. And this went on for June and July and August, and they were at their wit's end. And they said, well, you know, we're going to have to do a spinal tap to see what's going on, you know?
Uh-huh.
My cousin was a doctor. And he said, you know, cuz, you may really want to think that over because that's really painful, you know? And so at one point, they were doing a Native American powwow up at Bear Mountain State Park here in New York. Mm-hmm. And my daughter was like 8 or 9 and my son was like 4. And I said, let's take the kids to the powwow, you know? And she said, okay. Well, I said, okay. Once I had a weekend off, so we went to the powwow. And as I'm walking down, and it had like, they had a row of stores, and they had like empty storefronts where these people were selling all kinds of merchandise and everything. And they had tents set up. The Native Americans had tents set up in the big field. And as we're walking down, I'm pushing my son in a stroller, and my wife's got my daughter and holding hands. A Native American shaman comes out of one of the storefronts, and he says to me, "You have a dark." But he said, your aura is black. You got something dark attached to you. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm listening. And he says, if you come in here, I can take it off you. And I'm thinking, okay, what's this going to cost me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, nope, I'm not going to charge you anything. Just let me do, you know, my ceremony and I'll cleanse you. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe we're going to get a little peyote here. You know what I mean? I got all day to kill, you know. So I said, okay, it's not going to cost me anything. I'm in. So I went into this storefront And he had like stuff set up on the like pillows on the floor or whatever. And he started with the white sage, and he had another dude in there banging on the drum, and he was dancing and saging. And he had the like, I don't know what they look like, maracas, but they weren't really maracas, but they rattles. And this went on and went on. And I mean, there was so much sage in the smoke in the place. It looked like the place was on fire. So after being in there, God, for like a half hour, 45 minutes, he said, okay, we're done. He said, now your aura is cleansed and you'll be better. He said, but before you go, I want to give you something. And he said, don't ever take it off. This will protect you all the time. So I said, okay. And he goes, whatever you do, don't open this up. And he gave me a leather pouch, like a the kind of hang around your neck. And he put a stone in there. I didn't see what kind of stone it was. He was digging through the drawers. He had, you hear all kinds of stones rattling around. Mm-hmm. He threw a stone in there and he said, you know, wear this all the time and sleep with this and you'll be okay. Okay. Left that ceremony and the migraine was gone. No more migraine. And this was like canceled the spinal tap. I was like, I'm good to go now. I couldn't believe, because at one point I was wearing dark sunglasses because everything hurt my eyes.
Yes.
And I was like, we had a really great time at the festivities and everything. Yeah, the powwow. We had a great time. And we came home, and that was in September. October rolls around, and my daughter dresses up as Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. Okay. And my son dresses up as like a little pirate or whatever. And we do the Halloween thing around the neighborhood. You know, all the kids and all the parents walk around the neighborhood with their kids. And we get home that night, and the kids are all wound up. So we let them wind down. My son and my daughter are sleeping in their room. We're upstairs at this point. And in the master bedroom, they're to our right in their bedroom, and I got a 125-pound German Shepherd sleeping at the foot of my bed. Okay? And all of a sudden, and during the middle of the night, I wake up because I see there's light in the room. And I'm like, what? There's no way there could be light coming into my bedroom because behind my house is like 100 acres of woods. There's no houses back there or any car roads. So I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I look out the window and I see the whole backyard is lit up. And I said, man, the moon is really bright tonight, you know? And next thing I know, I'm thinking I'm awake. I think I'm awake and this is reality, my reality. But I turn around and I'm actually out of my body, like having an out-of-body experience. I'm sitting on my headboard. We have a really big headboard with a couple of drawers in it, mirrors, and it's flat on top. You can put stuff on top of it. Well, I'm sitting on top of the headboard, looking down at me, sleeping.
Oh my gosh.
And I look up, and there's two tall, gray aliens lifting me up like I don't know how they're lifting me up because they're not touching me, but they're lifting me up and they're moving me towards the window, towards the light. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, how the hell are these aliens going to get me through the wall in the window? It's October. Everything is closed. You know, windows are closed. How are they going to get my body out the window? And as these two tall aliens are moving me, and this is like happening in slow motion, I'm thinking, how come this big ass dog that I spent $1,000 on training, did canine training, is not tearing these two aliens a new asshole, you know? And the dog is snoring, my wife is snoring, and all this is going through my head, and I'm actually thinking, am I dreaming this? Is this a dream? Am I having a dream that I'm out of my body and the aliens are taking me? When all of a sudden, in the next room, my daughter starts screaming at the top of her lungs. And she's screaming and saying, you can't have my brother. You can't have my brother. And once she started screaming, I popped back into my body. The two tall aliens that were in front of me popped out. They were gone. The dog jumps up, My wife jumps up. Everybody races into the bedroom, my kid's room, and my daughter is wrapped around my son's legs, holding him down. And she's screaming, "You can't have my brother, you can't have my brother." And my son doesn't know what the hell's going on. He's crying hysterical. So we calm everybody down and we say, "What's going on, Amanda? What's going on?" And she says, "Dad, Dorothy was here."
And Dorothy or Darky?
No, Dorothy, like from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, okay.
She says, "Dorothy was here and she was trying to take Nikki out the window to the light." And we're looking at them and we're like, "What are you talking about? Dorothy is good. It's not like the Wicked Witch of the West. She's good, you know?" And she says, "Dad, Dorothy was in the room trying to take Nikki to the light." And my son is just crying. He doesn't know what's going on. All he knows is his sister's wrapped around his legs, holding them down tight. Mm-hmm. He can't move. So my wife and I look at each other like, "What's up?" I say, "Okay, you know what? Everybody calm down." I go to the window. I look out the window. There's no light in the yard. There's nothing in the yard. I put the dog in their room. I said, "Put the dog between their two beds." I said, "The dog will sleep with you guys tonight. We'll go back to bed." So I go back
Al,
to bed.
Did you have any awareness of what had just happened to you?
Yeah, because...
You did? Okay.
Because I'm thinking, you know, as I'm in there talking to her, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I thought that was a dream.
That was real.
How could that be a dream? And this is going on the same time here. You know, now I'm thinking, is this generational? They're taking me. They're taking my son. Did they take my father? You know, did they take my mother? I don't know. And I'm thinking, basically, without telling anybody, they just validated what I thought was a dream. You know?
Yeah.
So... I go to back to bed. My wife says, "You know, all right." My wife says, "Oh, let's go to bed." So we go to bed. That night, the heat was really pumping because it was cold that night. And so I was hot in my room. So I had taken that necklace off because I was sweating, and I put it on the dresser next to me. So in the morning, I get up and I say, "You know what?" I said, "Did this?" I wake up my wife and go, "Does this really happen last night? Was everything a dream?" And my wife is like, No, you know, Amanda started screaming and she thought she seen Dorothy. And I'm thinking, you know, they can put false images in your head not to scare you. Mm-hmm. And she was Dorothy that night for Halloween. So they probably figured if they show her, they showed her Dorothy, she wouldn't be scared, you know?
Yeah.
And so then I say, I grab the necklace. After everybody goes downstairs for a second, I go back upstairs. I grab the necklace off the dresser, and I open it up, even though the shaman said, "Don't open it up." I open it up, and I flip it over, and the stone comes running out. And to me, it looks like a sandstone. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not a gemologist. I don't know what stone. But to me, it looks like a sandstone. And I turn it over, and it's elongated, and it's got a face on it, and it looks like an alien head.
Wow.
And I tried to find the picture I had of it to send to you, but I must have deleted it because I can't find the picture anymore. And I wanted to send that to you guys to check it out. But it literally has a face on the stone, two eyes, a nose, and a mouth, and it's elongated. And if you look at it from like a profile, it looks like an alien's head.
Yeah.
Do you still have this the stone now?
Yeah, I still have it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to search for it. I don't know exactly where it is, but I know I still have it. It may be in my car, or it may be in one of my duffel bags that I use for investigations, but I know I have it. I had to change the bag a couple of times because it just got so nasty from sweating, wearing it all the
grungy.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah, grungy, yeah. But I know I still have it, so... So then I said, "Okay, you know what? The next year when that powwow rolls around, we're going back. I want to talk to this shaman, right?"
Yeah.
So the next year rolls around. I tell my wife, "Come on, we're going back. You know, kids had a good time. Let's go back." You know, we go back and I go right to that storefront where that guy was the year before. And there's, you know, just there's another, a different vendor in there, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm asking everybody, and someone says, "Oh, go talk to that guy. He's the promoter. He knows where all the shamans are," right? So I go over to this guy and I said, listen, you know, I was here last year, and I tell him the whole story. And he looks at me and he's laughing hysterical and he's shaking his head. He goes, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, what do you mean you don't know? He goes, first of all, our tribes don't have shamans. We have medicine men. That's number one. He said, and number two, all our medicine men are set up in the back of the powwow in tents. If you want a reading or a cleansing, you have to go to the far end of the park. We don't put them in the storefronts. The storefronts are for the vendors. And I was like, well, who the hell did I talk to last year, you know? And he goes, you got me. I don't know. I goes, I don't know. He goes, I know last year we had a couple of storefronts that were vacant. We didn't sell them all out, you know? He said, maybe somebody set up one of the vacant ones that wasn't supposed to be there. I don't know if those shaman and the other guy in that native that did the ceremony were actually Native Americans or if they were aliens or what. I don't know, because right after they cleansed me, the headaches went away.
Yeah.
You know, and they gave me that. What no one ever knew whatever. No one ever did. We never were able to diagnose why I was getting this to migraine.
Yeah.
And the migraines went away after this cleansing, where he said he cleansed my aura. He said my aura was black. He said I had something attached to me. I don't know if that was true or not, or if he was just doing something to alleviate the headaches. But so that was the very first time that I kind of thought, you know, because of what happened with my daughter and my son, and this kind of validated that they were taking us, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And Al, there's supposed to be several different groups, and there are supposed to be some dark, as in dark energy grays, that are not so good. And then there's supposed to be other grays that are more helpful. And they're more neutral rather than helpful, but there is a darker side to them, at least a sector of them. At least that's what I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I mean, you know, I don't know how true all of this stuff is, because if they are taking me or have been taking me, we've never had any discussions. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be brutally honest. If you're going to take me and put me on a ship, then take me to where you're from. Show me something.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you bring me back, I'm okay with it. You know what I mean? but I, you know, I don't care about the propulsion systems on your crafts. I don't care what kind of weapons you have, but I'd love to see where you come from.
Yeah, I'd love to see the planet.
As a kid growing up in the 70s, I was obsessed with space.
Yeah.
And you know, astrology and astronomy. I had all kinds of books on the stars and the planets and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I would always, I mean, I remember the first time we seen Earth from space, when they sent that picture out. And I thought it was just the most beautifulest thing. I think our planet is the most beautifulest planet in the universe,
yeah,
you know,
and
especially from outer space, you know, the blue planet.
Uh-huh.
And I always wanted to see it from that angle, from that view, you know. I don't know why. I've always felt like I've belonged up in space. I don't know if it's because we're part of, you know, we're made from
stardust.
Stardust, yeah.
Yeah.
Or if it's got something to do with a higher power, or if it's got something to do with being abducted. I don't know. All I know is I've always been fascinated with outer space and up there, you know, all the planets and everything.
And let me ask you real quickly, do you have the rhesus factor to your blood, the negative rhesus factor?
No.
Are you a negative? No?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm an A positive.
A positive. Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, my father was an O, and I don't know if they have negative positives for O.
They do, yeah.
So I think he was an O negative,
okay.
And I'm an A positive. But, you know, and over the years, I thought about this stuff over and over again. Like, my first name, Alfred, I was named after my grandfather, I found out means royal blood. And my last name, Santa Riga, in Italian, means holy line. So, you know, my whole name, Royal Blood Holy Line. Wow. I don't know if that's a coincidence. I don't know if that's got anything to do with all of my paranormal experiences. I have no clue, you know. So that happened. So that happened in 2002. Then maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, I have all kinds of knee issues from working, you know, and we had moved downstairs from upstairs. My daughter was in her teens at this point, and she wanted her own bedroom. And so she took over the master bedroom. My son stayed in their room. We moved down to the spare bedroom on the first floor because my wife didn't want my daughter sneaking out the windows at night. You know what I mean? So she said, if she's going to sneak out the window, she's climbing out from the top floor, you know? So we moved downstairs, and I was having all kinds of knee issues, and we're in a different, totally different bedroom, but again, still in the back of the house facing the yard and the woods. And, you know, I'm getting ready to have total knee replacement on my right leg, and I'm laying in bed. And again, I just have this feeling like something's in the room and I have to wake up. So I wake up, and and the first thing I notice is light coming through the window, and the window's on my side of the bed. And I'm thinking, how is there light coming through the window? Not only do we have the shade closed, but we have those curtains that block out any light. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I forgot what they're called. Well, my wife's got them.
Light blocking curtains.
Yeah, they have a special name for them, whatever. And so, but there's light coming into the bedroom. So the bedroom is lit up like daytime. I can see. And then I got 125-pound German Shepherd sleeping at the foot of the bed. And all of a sudden, I noticed there's two small gray aliens in the room. Not the tall ones this time. These are the small ones. So I'm looking at them. I'm laying in bed, and I'm looking at them, and they're looking at me, and they're hovering over my knee, and they're going in a circular motion with their hands.
Wow.
And they're like, they're humming or chanting or something. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking in my head, maybe they're going to fix my knee, and I don't have to get the surgery, because I'm hearing terrible things about the rehab, how painful it is. I'm thinking this would be great if these little guys can fix my knee without me having to go for the surgery. So I'm watching them. They're not paying any attention to me. They're focusing over my knees. And a thought comes to my mind. I wonder if they can hear my thoughts. So, you know, I'm looking at them, and I'm in my head, I'm going, talking to you, you know, and they're not paying any attention to me. Like, they can't hear me whatsoever. So one of them is working his way up towards my arms and my chest, towards my mm-hmm. head. And the other one is behind him, but they're still one is by my knee. Now one is up closer to my hip. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the thought crosses my mind, well, you know, I'm a pretty big guy, and these guys are really small and fragile looking. I wonder if I grab this guy by the neck, if he can make me let go. And as soon as that thought went into my mind, they both stopped dead in their tracks. They put their hands up like if someone was pointing a gun at you.
Yeah.
And they went, ooh, and they blinked out and they were gone.
Oh.
And I said, I guess they could hear my thoughts. And they were just ignoring me. And then I got up, and then I got out of bed, and I noticed there was no light in the room. I looked out the window. There was no light in the yard. And this time, I didn't have that feeling where I was having an out-of-body experience. I didn't question if I was dreaming, because this time, I was still laying in bed in my body watching them, you know? Mm-hmm. I felt that I was awake, you know? As a matter of fact, I think afterwards, I got up and went to the bathroom, you know? Because it's the middle of the night, you got to go to the bathroom, so.
Was the knee?
No, the knee had to get replaced. No, they didn't do anything to the knee, you know? So I ended up getting both of them replaced, but they didn't heal me. You know, it would have been nice if they would have took me aboard the ship and did what they do. You know, I'm sure they have the technology to, heal the body, or regenerate the bone or whatever.
Think they were trying to heal you, because that's how I heal myself, is in a circular motion. directing white light with a circular motion. That's why it rang true to me.
And maybe
had you not had that thought, I think they would have continued.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Maybe you just interrupted them and you should have left them alone.
They got scared. Yeah.
Yeah. That's well, you know what? When you're in the moment.
Oh, I really
don't know if you're dreaming, if it's reality or a dream. You know, you really don't know. You think you know, you feel like you know, but I mean, like I said, with the one upstairs where I was out of my body sitting on, if my daughter didn't scream and wake my wife and my dog up and everybody go running into the bedroom, I would have thought that was all a dream, you know?
That was a dream. In retrospect, you can almost see, though, what it was doing, that I do feel it was trying to heal you. You're something to them. You're probably one of them, one of that group. And I think they were trying to help you.
Well,
of course, at the time, you weren't aware of that, really.
Well, I mean, I kind of said it jokingly, you know? Maybe they'll fix my knee and I won't have to get the surgery. Because the surgery was coming up. It was only like a week away or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it was getting close. So I was like, this would be great if I didn't have to lose any time of work, a year rehab or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Surgery and everything else. Yeah, I mean, that would have been a beautiful thing, to be honest with you. But, I mean, you know, so, I mean, I'm going to assume the second one was real because the first one was. You know?
I
mean, I don't know. And those are my two possible objection scenarios, you know.
Well, Willie, isn't it about time we take a break?
We could do that. We've gone so far over. If you want to just continue,
it's up to you guys.
Yeah. I guess you could kind of cut out our chit chat and then continue, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
We just keep rolling then.
So we'll just keep rolling.
Okay. So, well, in review, Al, what do you think? Do you think you're part of them? Or do you think maybe you were sent here and you're working with them? What do you think?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like I said, I've always felt like I belonged up there.
Yeah,
that's, you know, again, and like I said, I don't know if that's got to be to do with the creator or the space dust, you know, or what. But I always felt like the, you know, space was my home.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, then let me tell you, when I was little, I was 8 years old and I felt that I wasn't human. I felt that I didn't have bones and guts inside me. My outside looked human, but I didn't think that I was. And from where we lived in the summer, I would look to the southwestern sky, and I felt that's where I came from. 8 years old.
Wow.
So see, you're not alone.
Yeah, I was 10 when I
10.
Yeah, and I felt that, you know. I think after that first night where we made contact, I think from that point on, they were observing me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like kind of monitoring you. So have you ever had any kind of x-rays or anything that might have revealed something unusual in your cranium or your nasal passages or anything?
No, I've had a lot of body scans over the years and for a variety of injuries, but I've never had anything that came up as foreign substance in my body. Yeah, I do get a high pitched frequency that goes through my head, and when it does, it's crippling. And when it does happen, I usually have a sighting either like the next day or that night. Yeah. I get like this high pitch frequency that just goes through my ear, my right ear. And it's just like, it feels like a lightning bolt going through my head. And
does it almost sound like a radio tuning itself? Not static, but the different frequencies on a radio when you change stations.
It sounds like ee. That's what it sounds like. Like an ee kind of sound, but it's really high pitched, and it's just, and it always goes in the right ear, and it feels like it's going through my right ear on a 45 degree angle and coming out my left. And if I close my, stick my fingers in my ear, the, both ears are just ringing uncontrollably.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, how about your family then? Do you think your dad or your mom, have they ever hinted at sightings, contacts, anything?
No, definitely not my father. I mean, he's seen a ghost and he still didn't believe in ghosts. But my mother was psychic to a point where she would get premonitions. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's considered psychic or not, if you get premonitions.
Sure.
But she always got premonitions. She would talk. She would have full conversations in her sleep. And you would, you know, you couldn't make out what she was saying, but it was like she would wake up the next day and my father said, "Who the hell are you talking to all night?" And she said, "Oh, there was somebody. You didn't see him. He was standing next to me, bending over, talking to me in my ear all night long." And I was in the next room, and the walls were like paper thin, and you could just hear her talking, and it would be in Italian, because she spoke broken English, so most of the time she would be talking in Italian, and I don't know who she was talking to. My father didn't know who she was talking to, but you know, it was all the time. It would go on for hours at a time, and it didn't matter if my mother was in New York, if she was in Florida visiting my sister, or even in Colorado when my brother lived out in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
If something tragic happened in the family or a close friend passed away, she would always know before anyone
she
else.
She would know.
They would come to her to say goodbye or something, you know. She would call, like she would call my father from Colorado and say, "Is everything okay with so-and-so?" My father would say, "Not as far as I know. It's because I had a dream last night. I think she died." And my father said, "Well, I don't know. I guess if she would passed away, someone would have called." And then, you know, 2 minutes later, the phone would ring, and we would find out that somebody in the family or a close friend of the family, you know, paisans from Italy, you know, they're all from the same town. Someone passed away. Yeah.
Oh, sometimes it's almost like a curse. I don't know if it's good to know or not. Al, have you ever noticed any kind of marks on your body?
Yeah, I do have marks on my body. I don't know where they came from, but
a triangle, a pinpoint of triangles,
scars, just like what would we call that? A quarter moon or something like that. What do they call that?
A crescent moon. Like a scoop mark?
No, it just looked like a crescent moon, like someone had cut into me in the shape of a crescent moon, kind of. I would have those every now and then, but like I said, as I grow older, they would shrink, and then I'm a pretty hairy guy, so, you know, as I got older and came into puberty, I didn't even look for him anymore. It was no sense in looking. You couldn't find him anyway. My nickname was Sasquatch growing up, so that should tell you everything you need to know.
Oh, okay. When you were a kid, did you ever see any like flashes of light that seemingly came from nowhere? You couldn't determine the origin?
All the time.
Really?
All the time. I would see him. Sometimes I would see him looking straight ahead. Sometimes it would be out of the corner, my peripheral vision, you know, out of the corner of your eye, and you turn and you'd look. Or there would be times when I would be in the living room of my old house and I'd be watching TV, whether it would be like Don Kosher's rock concert or wrestling or whatever, and the kitchen and the dining room would be pitch black and you'd see a flash. And the whole kitchen or the whole dining room would light up and you'd say, "What the hell was that?" You know, and you go out there and look and there's nothing there. And
there's nothing there.
Yeah, and you just say, what the hell just happened, you know?
I've seen it kind of like bounce around too.
Mine are always like a silvery white kind of light too. It's never that bluish white. It's always like a silvery white.
Okay. Well, do we have time for a couple of other things? I wanted to ask you about, how about that rake sighting. Can you talk about that at all?
Sure. I mean, it was very strange. There's really not much to say. Driving down the parkway like I do every morning, 5 o'clock at night, and the morning, I mean, and it's pitch black out. And the parkway I drive down at the Taconic Parkway is very snaky. There's a lot of twists and turns.
Yeah.
And there's one part where there's a golf course to the right, and there's a meadow. There's a meadow off to the right of the parkway. Then there's a little tree line. The golf course is behind there. And it's right around. You come around like an S-turn. And usually the state troopers will back all the way up into the woods. And you can't see them until you come around that turn. And it's a speed trap. You know, everybody knows it's a speed trap. So what I usually do before I get there, not that I'm a speeder. I'm more of a cruiser. But what I'm looking for are two things. A, deer running across the parkway so they don't total my car. And B, cops hiding in the woods because I really don't want – I drive for a living. I don't need a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
So what I usually do, when, just before I get to that turn, I put my high beams on. So as I come around the turn, the police cars in New York are – like navy blue with a gold stripe, and that gold stripe is it's reflective. So as I come around a turn, if they're in the woods, that reflective stripe will light up. I'll know they're there, you know, and I'll just lay off the accelerator. If I'm doing like 65 miles an hour, I'll slow down a little bit, you know. But or if there's any deer grazing, because I've had deer run along my car, like trying to get in front of my car, that were being chased by coyotes.
Ooh.
And they try to use the car as a roadblock so the coyotes get hit by the car or run into the car. And I remember one time I had to get the car up to like 65 miles an hour to get past this deer. He was keeping up with me because these coyotes were right on his tail. But anyway, I come around a turn, and you know, I see the herd of deer. There's maybe a half a dozen or 10 of them grazing. I look deep into the woods where the cops are usually. There's nobody there. But in the high grass, creeping out towards the deer, is this white, chalky-looking thing. All you see, it looks like a white spider. All I'm seeing are elbows and knees with a little human head in the front. The head was small. Almost like a baby's head. It was really small, and it's creeping up in a spider kind of motion in the high grass, and the deer are grazing, and they have no clue that this thing is coming. So once I see that, I take the foot off the accelerator and I start to slow down, because I don't know if I'm hallucinating because it's 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm tired,
or if it's a reflection, or
I'm thinking, am I looking at a lawn furniture that fell off of some guy's pickup truck, and it's just the feet of a recliner sticking up, you know, white. Of course, you see four white things sticking up, you know. So I go to work that day. I don't tell anybody about it because I'm really not sure what the hell I seen. And even though I kind of know what it is, and that night I was going to go back and check to see if there was any kind of lawn furniture on the grass on the side of the parkway, and B, if there was any blood where the deer herd was grazing, if this creature got anything, you know. Unfortunately, as I started to ride home that night, it started raining like cats and dogs. But I did turn around and I did drive by that location again, and there was no white lawn furniture on the side of the parkway. I didn't get out to see if there was any blood because it was raining and everything was muddy from where the cops back in and out of. There's no grass. It's all dirt. And I didn't feel like getting all muddy and going home and tracking that through the house. My wife would kill me. So I just said, you know what? Tomorrow morning when I come down, I'll look again. And I haven't seen it again, but it was pretty strange.
How big was this thing, Al?
I would say it had to be between 6 and 7 feet long.
Whoa.
Oh, okay.
It was long, but it was thin, very thin. And like width-wise, no wider than maybe 2 feet wide. you know, like the shoulders, and because it was very thin. But it had legs
like a spider, though? It had more than like two legs?
No, it had two legs. The way it was creeping up.
Oh, with its elbows up.
The front legs looked like, it looked like a quadruped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was, but it had a little head in the middle. So it just looked
like a spider.
It looked like a spider. I mean, I don't have any other way to explain it, to describe it. It was just so creepy. Like, I don't know anything that could move like that, like put its joints in that kind of a position and creep, you know?
Yeah. People have captured that on hunting cams, you know, motion cameras out in the middle of the woods. I've only seen two, I think, total. And I never knew what they called them. But does anybody really know what this thing is? Do you think it might be extraterrestrial or maybe just an elemental or something like a dogman, something that is interdimensional?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the Native Americans called them skinwalkers, which were Native American, not skinwalkers, Wendigos, which were Native American demons, you know.
Yeah.
They thought they were definitely supernatural. I don't know if this thing is a skinwalker or a Wendigo or a rake or, you know, interdimensional.
Yeah.
I don't, because that's the same thing that went through my head. Is this thing alien from outer space? Is it alien from a different dimension? I mean, I don't know. I'm at a loss. All I know is when I seen it, my brain couldn't comprehend what my eyes were seeing. It was just like, you know, you think, you know, because I always try to always think everything out rational, you know. Am I really seeing this? Is it really what it is? Don't say nothing for a couple of days. Let's go back two or three times and just check the area out. Maybe we'll find something. Maybe it's nothing, you know. But, you know, when you check everything off the checklist and there's nothing, it's not, then it is what you thought it was, you know.
Yeah,
and
nothing rational.
Yeah, no, nothing rational at all, no.
Oh, it's so creepy looking. You certainly do get your share of sightings, I swear. Sleepy Hollow. That's another thing I wanted to ask you real quickly. Have you reviewed your evidence yet?
I'm really bad when it comes to reviewing evidence.
Oh. Okay, did you have any experiences?
I did review the photographs. I haven't reviewed any of the video that we took that day, but I did review the photographs. There was nothing in any of the photographs, nothing unusual, there's nothing to write home about. We did have some pretty good experiences there. We were using a lot of ITC devices, and we had the Echo Vox going at one point, and we asked, you know, we were in front of, I believe it was Rockefeller's tomb. Okay.
Oh.
And the Rockefeller's tomb looks like the White House. Okay. And then they have other family members laid out around the tomb and graves. And so we're sitting there with the ITC device and we're asking questions. We asked who was there. And that day I had a new member of the team come out. It was his first time ever coming out with us. And he was there with me. And when I asked who was there, meaning like who's in the tomb, it said Alan Mike, which happened to be the other guy's name, Mike. And he looked at me and he said, that thing just say my name. And I'm like, yeah, it said your name and my name. And then I used, after we used that there, I broke out the ghost radar, which said there was entities all around us. And it spit out, you know, we asked a lot of questions and we got some intelligent answers and just a lot of answers that didn't make any sense, you know.
Yeah.
Mike, I broke out the dowsing rods. You know, I did the same thing at every location we went to, and we were there for like 4 hours, and we barely even got through like 1/10 of the cemetery. It's such a big place. And when I broke out the dowsing rods, all bets were off. We'd ask if there was anybody there. What if they're there? Open up. They opened up. If it's this person, you know, if it's not the person who is supposed to be in the tomb, to cross, it would cross. You know, if it wasn't that person, if it was like a family member, then it would open up. And Mike was going crazy because he's never used them before. So he never felt the energy coming through those, you know? And it's certain tombs were definitely more energy than others. And at some of the tombs, the dowsing rods were just spinning like tops. They were going crazy. Mike was freaking out. He was like, oh, my God, I can feel the energy going all the way up my arm to my shoulders. He goes, do you feel this? Is this what you guys feel? And I'm like, yeah, that's what we feel. Yeah, we've used them before, you know. And he just couldn't believe it, how much energy we were getting there, you know. And now, Brian, my other guy who was with me, he was taking photographs and video, too. So I don't know if he ever caught anything. He never got back to me saying he caught anything spectacular or not. But when we went down to the Headless Horseman Bridge,
yeah,
then everything just went crazy. All, you know, I had a Periscope wand on me that day. I was using the Periscope wand. And this is a very sensitive device. It reads negative and positive electrons, okay? And It didn't go off once the whole day. When we got down to the bridge, it was going crazy. I got video of it lighting up. We're asking questions, light up green for this, red for that, and it would, or light up red for this and green for that, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just going absolutely nuts.
Is that device? A periscope? What?
Periscope wand? Periscope wand, yes.
What is it?
It registers positive, like the red is a positive electrons and the green is negative.
So it's just, you know, like a stick?
It looks like a stick with like a Y at the top, like a peace sign on a stick. And it's got a metal wire going up, like a brass wire, and it just reads different kinds of energies, you know what I mean?
Okay.
It's not picking up electromagnetic, you know, it's not picking up static, it's picking up negative and positives ions, electrons. And so that thing was going absolutely crazy at the bridge. And again, you know, and again, you got to remember, we're on a bridge that's hundreds of years old. It's over running water, which is a conductor of energy.
Right.
And we don't know if there's limestone under the dirt, under the water, which is another conductor of energy. So, you know, like quartz crystal in the limestone. So there could be quartz underneath that dirt in the rock that's amplifying that energy on top of the water itself, you know? So, I mean, all the devices were just going absolutely crazy down there. And then somebody came by and told us to leave because I guess we didn't have their permission to do an investigation there. And I think basically we were doing it without paying, you know? And I think that was, because I told the guy said, oh, we frown on that here. He said, you can't do that here. And I go, but I was here last October, I said, and you guys were doing it. And I was part of it during then, you know? And he was like, I wasn't really there last October. My daughter was with her husband. And, I said, well, so it's okay for you to do it and not for me. He goes, well, we do it. He said, we do it respectfully. I said, look at us. We're all old men. Who do you think here is being disrespectful? You know, nobody's being disrespectful. We're being as respectful as we possibly can, you know.
Well, who were those people? They weren't constables. They weren't police, were they?
No, that, you know, we ran into a lot of workers at the cemetery, and we asked them all kinds of questions. Have you seen ghosts? Have you heard this? Have you heard that? And, you know, everybody had a story. But apparently this guy was one of the supervisors who worked in the office. And, you know, he happened to be out checking on the guys working, and he's seen us with all our ITC devices. So he knew what we were up to because they do tours in October. So he knows, you know. So he says, well, next time, you know, you call ahead and, you know, maybe we could work something out for you. And I was thinking, okay. And I turned to my guys. I said, you know what this is all about, right? They want cash. They want us to go to the office and pay, you know, whatever, $20 a head to walk to the cemetery and do this. That's what it's all about. It's not about anything about being disrespectful or not. It's about them not making any money on it. Because they do it all the whole month of December, they do it. I mean, October, they do haunted tours, you know, so.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And they charge everybody for the tours, you know, so, you know. But we went in during the day thinking, hey, you know, it's during the day, it's open to the general public.
Right.
It's not a big deal. You know, we've done a lot of cemetery investigations, and we've done them at daytime. We've done them at night. We've never been run off at any place, you know. Mm-hmm. But apparently this guy woke up on the wrong side of the bed that day and he wanted, he just wanted his
$10.
Yeah. Whatever he wanted. I know that the bottom line was we didn't get there. Okay. And they didn't make any money on the deal. That's what the whole bottom line was. So we got ran off. And so we said, okay, we've been here for 4 hours anyway.
You know? Oh, that's quite a while. Yeah.
Yeah. But like I said, we didn't even get to the oldest part of the cemetery because we started at the most exclusive part where all the rich and famous people were buried, you know? Mm-hmm. So we because their tombs are just, you know, bigger
they're
than
huge.
My house. Yeah, they're bigger than my house. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, you know, when you see these things from the road and you say, God, I wonder who's buried there, you know?
Yeah.
And it was funny because when we came in, we were all sitting at the parking lot. I said, look at that one. It looks like the White House. I bet you that's a Rockefeller's tomb. And when we got up there, sure enough, it was a Rockefeller, you know?
Oh, yeah. Did you get to the area where the Hessian soldiers were buried?
No.
Okay.
No. And we were talking to one of the workers who was telling us where that location was, but we wanted to get to the bridge before we went there.
Yeah.
And we just figured, you know, we'll just come back another day to the Hessian part of the cemetery. And but when we got ran off, we just said, you know what? Next time we come, we'll do it with one of the tours. You know, this way everybody's on the same page and no one gets bent out of shape.
How far is this place from where you live, Al?
Ossining, I would say, is about 45 minutes away.
Oh, that's not bad.
No,
I thought you had to drive 4 or 5 hours or something.
No. It's close. It's not far. As a matter of fact, my niece lives in Ossining. She's like right down the street. So, you know,
geez.
She was like, why didn't you call me Uncle Al? I would have came with you. I was like, she's a teacher. I said, you were working that day. You were teaching. It was a weekday, you know, so.
Do you find that you get pretty good results in the daylight?
I find we get great results, whether it's day or night.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I think if they're there and they want to be known and you have the right kind of energy that attracts them, they're going to come to you. You know, you can be there at night. And if you have a negative energy about you, they're not going to make themselves known, or you may just attract something that's negative, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's good to hear. I don't know. People figure, you know, nighttime is the way to go, but I've heard that people have really good results during the day too.
Yeah. No, I think it depends on the people who are actually doing the investigation and the kind of energy they bring with them.
Yeah. I agree with you.
That's just one of my theories. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've been out of time, Willie.
We are out of time.
That went quick.
It always does.
I didn't even get to tell you about the dog man I seen on the parkway the other day.
Oh, come on now. Can you tell us in a minute?
No, I can't do it. I can make it short, but not in a minute, no.
Okay, we'll have to leave her another time then.
Another time.
I guess so. So, websites, all that kind of stuff, Al?
Bronxville Paranormal Society. We have two pages on Facebook. We have a group page. We got a membership page. We have a website. We're on YouTube. I'm also, you know, the director of the New York State UFO Project, the North American Dogman Project, New York State Chapter, and the New York State Sasquatch Organization as well. So you could find all of those groups that I'm the director of or the founder of on Facebook. and, you know, join us and, you know, give us any of your experiences or if you witnessed anything, you know, and we'll put it up and we'll go from there.
Great.
You're a busy guy, Al.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't even touch on the thing I'm working on in the city with the Lynn knows about it because she read it on the Facebook page about the haunted housing down in New York. I'm working on something down there right now as well. Yeah.
Cool. Jeez. You know, Al, you really should consider writing a book.
You know what, Willie? I can barely spell my name. There's no way I'm going to write a book.
Get a ghostwriter.
Dictate it. Let somebody else write it.
Yeah.
Well, just know, one.
Everybody tells me that. But you know what? This is the way I look at it. And I'm brutally honest. First of all, I'm a nobody. You know, I'm not Richard Dolan or anybody famous. And number two, who the hell is going to buy my book? I'm a nobody. You know what I mean? So,
because of the content, Al.
Yeah, but there's so much out there. Everybody and their mother has a book. You know what I mean? How much you can't expect all of these people that follow to buy everybody's book. You know, everybody's got a book. You know, how many books can you expect? I have books on my shelf from authors that just give them to me, sign them to me. Best wishes, stay spooky. I got books on my shelf. I don't have the time to get to read. You know. Hans Holzer's daughter, Alexandra. I met her at a seminar a couple of years back. And we sat down and we hit it off and we talked and we talked and we talked. And because her father, my brother was like obsessed with her father, you know. Mm-hmm. So I read all of Hans's books after
so
my brother. And so we were talking. I said, I got to pick your brain about your father. And she happened to have one of her father's books with her. And she signed it to me. And she said, here, Al, you know, take this on me, you know. And let me know what you think of it. And that was like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And I still haven't gotten to it, you know.
Oh.
I probably read it before in my youth, you know what I mean? But it was a gift from her, so it was special. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, I don't know when you'd have time to read, but squeeze it in before bedtime. Well, thank you so much, Al. It's always such a pleasure.
Yes. Thank you both for having me. It's always my pleasure.
Thank you very much, Al. We always enjoy talking to you and listening to your great stories.
Willie, I made sure we got those abduction things in just for you.
I know.
We've been trying to get to it for months now. You know what I mean? So I said, no, I'm going to make sure we get to this because Willie's been so patient waiting to hear about them. So I wanted to do it for you.
Well, I appreciate it, Al. Thank you.
And don't forget, I'm only doing 12 next year, so book early.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you all. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep. You too. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Have a great night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that is Spirit Radio, the Paranormal Experience.
And thanks, everyone, for listening, and have a great holiday.
Granite Sky is proud to serve the Granite State, New England, and the world via the internet with rock-solid support and personal services. There are many aspects to ufology, and the experiencer is too often overlooked. At Granite Sky, their focus is on people, not proof. Granite Sky focuses on supporting those who have had extraterrestrial encounters and abduction experiences. We believe no one should have to face these experiences alone. If you've been visited, visit them at www.granitesky.org.